Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you always so much for this beautiful day and the awesome opportunity to be able to gather as your family and your house and to get into your word. Help us now as we do that to understand it, apply it in the right way, draw close to you, build our faith and trust in you and in your word. So we thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Exploring the Word series, we'll begin now in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, in this footnotes here, is this letter was written to a group of Jewish Christians, probably around AD 64. These Christians who had fallen under persecution were despairing of the faith and were tempted to return to Judaism. The author wrote this letter to point out the superiority of the Christian religion and to encourage them in the faith. He emphatically points out that Christ is greater than the prophets, angels, Moses, Joshua, and Aaron. God had spoken through each of these, but now he spoke through Christ, his Son. And then he notes next to Romans, Hebrews has exerted the greatest influence on the thinking of succeeding generations of Christians. It's a very important book of Hebrews. And let's get right into Hebrews in chapter 1. It reads, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Identifying Jesus Christ and the majesty of Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is the Son of God, the fact that he is above all others, and that he is the Creator. As he continues, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Identifying Jesus Christ as God, because he clearly puts it there. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around the concept of the Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three, but yet one. As it continues, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands, acknowledging again Jesus Christ as the Creator. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old, as doeth a garment. They shall perish. They will be gone, as completely melted away, as it speaks of over in 2 Peter. And here in verse 12, as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? A praise and an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ who He is, what He has done. He spoke there about purging the sins. He paid the ultimate price for all sin of all mankind, past, present, and future. All of that taken on to the one who was sinless. He spoke everything into existence, holds everything in existence by His word. Everything remains in existence, and by His word, everything will be taken out of existence. He referred there to that destruction. And if we turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up." Totally burn up, melted away. But if you back up to verse 7 there, you see where it identifies Jesus Christ as holding it in by His word. So it reads, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word," which is Jesus Christ, "are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So as a judgment, everything in the physical world that we see around us is going to be vaporized. The elements themselves shall melt away, if you go on reading there in 2 Peter. But as Jesus Christ spoke it all into existence by His word, and by His word He holds it in existence and will control its existence until the appropriate time when He takes it out of existence. Because He is the Creator and in control of His creation. All right, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, meaning for that reason, for the reason that Jesus Christ is Lord, ultimate authority, that He is the Creator, that He is the propitiation for our sins. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The things that we have heard. He's speaking there of actual being able to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ and the things that are recorded for us that we can read and that we can hear. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" So the salvation, the availability of forgiveness is what he's speaking of. To be saved, to be converted, become a new creature in Christ, to be born again. "Is God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." Speaking of what Jesus Christ has went through. "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, because death has not yet been conquered." That will be the final thing that puts under his feet is death itself. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Just imagine that, the taste of death for everyone, past, present, and future, everyone of all time coming upon Jesus Christ. And where he speaks of made a little lower than the angels, has taken on that human form to lay down some of his power and authority and majesty temporarily so he could take on flesh and so he could take on all the sins of all mankind. And then receiving all of that back in full power and full glory, as he says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's all come back to him after his finished work. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Because of the experiences that Jesus Christ went through, to be able to relate to human beings in a human setting and to take on all that he did is what he's referring to. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Because we get adopted into the family. We become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now we do not have to be afraid of death, because Jesus Christ has made available to us everlasting life. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. The succor means to supply with what one needs. He has shown us that we can overcome temptation by him taking on flesh and being tempted directly by Satan, and overcoming those temptations shows that we can, by his power, overcome those temptations of Satan as well. And he shows that relatability as going through experiences that humans go through. All right, we'll run on into chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. See, the issue that we read about earlier, about how many of the Jews that had become Christians were very learned of the history and praised, to the point of praising, the prophets and Moses and Abraham and Aaron and the others. And here he's pointing out how Jesus Christ is far greater than Moses. Those that were around would understand that, or should understand that. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, reminding them of the Exodus and the things that come upon those that complained and murmured and turned against the Lord, the judgment that fell on them. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 days, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 days for being disobedient. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Reminding them of the judgments that come upon the children of Israel during the Exodus and indicating the judgments that will come upon everyone else. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That was the main issue that the author was dealing with the group that he was sending this out to, is a withering away of their faith in Jesus Christ. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's important that we come together and rejoice together and lift each other up. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Just as the future dwelling place, you have to have belief to be able to go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire. Right into chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Fear. Encouraging us to fear. Now all through here we have the subject of fear all through the Bible. And you got to understand what he's speaking of when you're dealing with fear. And applying fear in the right way. We are to be totally fearless when it comes to our lives in the physical world and our physical threats that are out there. And we need to be filled with fear when it comes to the reverence of God. Fear of judgment that should keep us in alignment. Fear of accountability needs to remain there. And the respecting and honoring fear of the Lord. But not to be fearful of what man can do to us. Let us therefore fear lest at a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Like, be afraid of the fact that if you don't trust in the Lord, you're going to wind up in a lake of fire. That should encourage you to overcome that fear by trusting in the Lord and having the right kind of fear in the Lord. For unto us was the gospel preached. The gospel. The good news. The good news of the availability of salvation that was preached, taught, expressed, shared. Reads, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore in it remaineth that some must enter therein. See, we can have a rest, a peace that passeth all understanding, as it says, and that rest that can come upon us, knowing that when we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved, we are adopted into the family. It isn't something that we have to strive to achieve through righteous works, because we cannot work enough to achieve salvation. We must, by faith, accept and receive salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ, and that gives us that rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This limited of a certain time, this door of opportunity of salvation is only open for so long, as illustrated in the worldwide flood. When the ark was finished, the Lord called Noah and his family into the ark. And that door was left open for 7 days. 7 more days of opportunity for the people out there to come in. That ship was big enough to handle very many people. But none others came in. And then the Lord sealed that door, closed that door, sealed that door, indicating a closing point of time that salvation was no longer available. We die physically, that's it. You cannot go to purgatory, which is a fictitious fable, and get a second chance of salvation. It doesn't work that way. When you're dead, there's no other chance of salvation. And there are also those that have been indicated that can reach a point where the Lord has closed the door of opportunity for them because of so much disbelief, so much contrary against the Lord, so much antichrist attitude and behavior, that the Lord closes that door and they become reprobate. As I caution you, and as the Word of God cautions you, you do not try to determine that for yourselves. That is not for us to determine who is reprobate and who is not. And if you have any concern about your salvation, that you have missed the door of opportunity, then you are not reprobate yet, because if you're reprobate, you don't even care to even think about that. Read 7 again. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. That's what I was speaking about earlier. It isn't that you work toward your salvation. You enter into that rest, at peace. I have salvation now. And then you can enter into opportunities of work for the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord, trying to pay back a little bit, because there's no way we could ever pay it all back. But welcoming the opportunity to be a part of the work of the Lord. It isn't that we have to, it's that we get to. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He is going to judge everything, everyone of all time. And it will be a complete and total revelation form of judgment. Everything's going to be looked at. Did you get it taken care of? Did you get it washed in the blood? Or did you not? Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, which is Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, keep the faith. Stay strong. Keep on keeping on. Don't waver. You trust in the Lord, show it. Act like it. Behave it. Display it. Share it with others. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He spoke of earlier about how Jesus Christ went through the physical existence. He went through the temptations. He went through all of that to be able to show us that he can relate to us. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help, to help in time of need, that we can boldly approach the throne. Because the finished work of Jesus Christ tore that veil completely open, allowing us to enter into the Holy of Holies, to be able to go directly to the Heavenly Father by that pathway. Opened up and supplied by the finished work of Jesus Christ, given to us when he dwells us with the Holy Ghost and his constant communion with the Heavenly Father on our behalf. And we have that channel, we have that flow of blessings that's available. If we really tap into that and listen up to it, then we can find out what the perfect will of the Lord is for us and bring honor and glory to him in everything we say, everything we do, everything that we think even. Read verse 16 again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, and it truly is grace, unmerited favor, that is available to us. It isn't that we earned it. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We all need the Lord. And we all need to know that we can boldly approach the Lord with our needs of any kind, of any sort, because he has adopted us into his family, made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Because as he's mentioned there earlier, that he speaks of us as brethren, that means family members. So in that, we have access to the Heavenly Father. Take advantage of that, keep the faith, stay strong, and listen up to the Holy Ghost and bring honor and glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for what you have done for us and made available to us. Help us realize that and help us all be boldly approaching you and receiving what you have held right out there for us, beckoning for us to come in and receive those blessings, and help us to truly apply them properly and to share the many wondrous things you bless us with. We truly thank you for allowing us to be a part of your work as well. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.